we don't know, what we don't know sometimes can hurt us, hold us back, set us back, you know. But all through the Bible, the expectation, which means faith in God, when they trusted God, they had a manifestation of God. I mean, every time, Red Sea, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Jesus, I mean, the Apostle Paul, all of them, praise God, and we're just generations on down the road. We have the same word, serve the same God, and you can go ahead, Beth, and start it. But my title is Make No Plans to Fail. And God spoke this to me years ago, probably 25, 6 years ago. And because most of the time in my life, I failed at most things. I was a quitter, you know. And somewhere down the lines of that, you know, the Lord, He'd speak to me at different times when I would be under great pressure and trials and different things. And He would say, quitters never win. But winners never quit. You know, and he was talking about being a Christian. He was talking about staying in faith. He was talking about, you know, don't give up in that. And so he spoke that to me, make no plans to fail. And I started wondering, how do you make plans to fail? You know, and I started seeing examples in people's life. One example, we may have still been back under, I don't know. But this lady started coming to church, and she had cancer, or maybe come visited, had cancer or whatever, and they had done diagnosed her, you know, and give her 6 months to live, whatever it was to live, you know, and all that stuff. And that morning, I was preaching. I didn't know she was coming, actually. And I was preaching down the lines of cancer ain't no match for God and blah, 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 you know. And I was preaching down the lines, you know, Jesus said that it is finished. I mean, you know, He sealed healing. He sealed salvation and deliverance, and everything that we need was He finished it on the cross, you know. He sealed the covenant of God in His own blood, hallelujah, and gave it to us. It's been given to us. The Bible says that we've been given all things from Him for life and godliness. We done been given it. Godliness is living like God, being like God. But anyways, in that service, you know, and the Lord, you know, had me to minister on fighting. You know, if you've got cancer or whatever, don't just to hear the doctor's report and all of that stuff, you know. And it reminded me when the Lord, I'm going to be preaching about the Mark chapter 4, so or so is the word, and the four types of people that's in that. And so that day, I prophesied to her, and I told her, I said, fight. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, if you stand up and you fight, bless God, and you come against that, the Bible says everything, somebody say everything, that has the name has to bow at the name of Jesus. And so I was convinced, you know, it's not going to be me, because all through the Bible, there were 17 documented cases of people raised from the dead in the ministry of Jesus, and the majority of those people that were healed, not raised from the dead, that were healed, and the majority of those people, He said, your faith, be it done according to your faith. Your faith made you whole. Woman with issue of blood and all that. Well, they got up, left here, you know, and the doctor, they heard the doctor's report, and I even preached out of Isaiah where it says, whose report will you believe? I mean, that's not something, we don't just need to know that scripture. When we get a report, what are we going to believe? Are we going to take that is settled, that bad, that not God, that Jesus sealed on the cross? And you know, later on, they went ahead and they planned her funeral. They went, picked out her casket. She ain't even dead yet. They went and planned, and the Lord spoke to him. He said, that's what I'm talking about. He said, making plans to not be healed, making plans to die, making plans to go on. He said, you cannot make plans to fail and believe me. You can't receive from me that way. You've got to make plans to succeed. And then God began to teach me and teach the body, teach us. Y'all been taught by the Holy Spirit. He's been teaching you by through the Word and preaching and ministering not to give in to your emotions, your will, your desires, your feelings, the attacks of the enemy, the financial distress, and all of that. And all in that parable, he talks about those four different kinds, the wayside people. Wayside people are people that hear the word, they hear it, and they don't do nothing with it. Satan comes and steals it. He comes and says, well, salvation, or well, you're healing, you know, it's just up to God. He steals it somehow. By thoughts. That's why we cast down those thoughts, those imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, against the Bible. We cast it down and we replace it. We come back and replace it. I am the healed of God. I will walk free from this. No weapons formed against me will prosper. It can come against me and prosper. See, that's what they didn't do. They didn't do nothing with the Word of God. We all probably did it. The gospel was preached to us and we didn't get saved. We didn't yield to Jesus. We were wayside. We didn't take the word. We didn't receive salvation. So we were wayside. And people do it every day, wayside. He's calling them to get born again, calling them to get saved, trying to get them into this eternal glory, this eternal salvation, this eternal deliverance, the eternal things that go beyond the natural. And so the Lord began to teach me, you know. And the first thing I think stuck out with me about the Word of God was in Deuteronomy 8:3, because I was reading about Jesus. And I didn't know that Jesus, when he was out in that wilderness going led by the Holy Spirit and tempted of the devil, I didn't know that Jesus was quoting the Word of God until I started wondering, man, what is he saying, you know? And I begin to study it, and it goes all the way back what he was saying to Deuteronomy 8:3, where God said, man shall not live by bread alone. Your natural food, natural things alone. If we're going to live, we're going to have to live by the Word of God. By the Word. The Word is written, but when it comes to you and made real to you, it's called rhema. It's called enlightenment, it's called revelation, it's called light that we don't have without the Holy Spirit, and that is power and eternal life that's coming up through the Word of God. And so way back under 26, 7, 8 years ago, 9 maybe, you know, I've been serving the Lord, walking with the Lord pretty much for 30 years, you know. Don't plan on changing anything, not looking for a different life, not looking, I've done been through. And I was telling Travis the other day, I said, you know, I said, I do preach a lot on money and finances, I said, because it's part of our life. It's if we're, you know, it's the currency of this world kingdom. If you're going to have a house, you're going to have to pay for it, more than likely, unless God just moves for you and supernatural. So you need money. You need money for groceries. We need money to preach the gospel. We need our new building here. It's going to be here somewhere. Not nowhere else but Bluntsville. It's going to be in Bluntsville. We done released our faith for it, so I make no plans to fail. Well, maybe we'll get it. Maybe we won't. Well, it's been 10 years since you started believing. Well, I've been serving God 30, so what's the big deal? He kept us in this nice building. It gets a little hot sometimes, but we can sweat for Jesus. You secret. Helps you not smell as bad. Praise the Lord. But you know what? See, making no plans to fail, you take the Word of God and the promises of God concerning your circumstance, concerning your life, concerning your future, and then you begin to praise God for it right where you at. And you be thankful right where you at. And then because thankfulness is the key to more from God. I mean, if you want more from God, you got to be thankful where you're at. I was believing God for a truck one time. And the Lord, I'm believing God and I'm trying to release my faith. And God spoke to me and he said, you won't take care of the one you're not thankful for, the one you got. And I wasn't. Didn't have no air conditioning, had a car drivetrain. You know, I mean, it rusted out and I didn't wash it because it was rusted out. And so I thought, I thought, well, okay, all right. So I went to washing that thing and waxing it and praising God for it. Thank you, Lord, I got a good vehicle. Thank you, Lord. And I waxed it till the fenders, I nearly had the fenders made back out of wax. Because once you get in them rust spots and that stuff, you can't get it out, you know. But you know what? My next truck was a nice truck, man. Had air conditioning. I mean, first time we went on vacation, we believed God to go on vacation. And, you know, finances have never been favorable for me and Teresa to go do stuff. Even the enemy comes and people and things and have took from us and different things. But you know what? We wouldn't let it make us bitter. We adjusted and we didn't get like the wayside people. The stony ground people, that's the second one. It fell on stony ground. Well, the word, you know, I got a spot in my yard above the pool. It's a big, huge rock under the ground. You can't see the whole thing, but it's part of it sticking up, you know. And my grass does real good till it gets dry. And then if I want grass to continue growing there, I've got to water it a lot. If I want that grass to grow. Teresa, she made her own little garden around for a park. It's in buckets and this and that, you know. And I'm not really interested in it because you got to water it often, you know. And I thought, what I told Travis, I said, the success of that garden, in my garden, will be watering more. She'll have to water it more for it to produce fruit. And Max, going to eat some of the fruit, just watch the red one. Whoo! Watch that red one. She brought some out of, Max said, that come out of your garden. I said, no, that come out of her garden. But you know what? She's out there watering it every day. You know why? See, the stony ground people, you know, they hear the word and receive it in their heart. Oh, yeah, I'm going to prosper. Yeah, I'm going to be healed. Yeah, I'm going to, you know, they receive the word preached or read and they receive it with gladness, you know, in their hearts. But it has no depth. It has no root system. The only reason that it don't have root system is because you're not letting it stay there long enough. If you let seed stay in the ground long enough, it'll come up and it'll grow up and it'll produce as long as it's got water. It's took care of. See, we guard our heart. We guard the word. We don't just hear it. And then when trials, the Bible says, when trials and persecution comes for the word's sake in the stony ground, they stumble. Well, it's hot in church. Well, I mean, I can't afford a tithe. I'm just telling you. I'm telling you the truth. That the word there, the trial, the not having enough, I understand. I let them cut my phone off back under 1990-something, praise God, because it was either tithe or cut the phone off, and they cut my phone off. There wasn't no cell phones. It was a landline phone. I was going to honor God, and that phone bill is not going to get me to get that word out. I made up my mind. I'm not telling you what to do, but you know what? I don't have to be concerned today whether they're going to cut my lights off or not. But God, I'm blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the city. Sure, I'm attacked in my body, different physical things, but praise God, that don't determine what I believe. See, that's why I say that. See, they let the circumstances determine whether they was going to believe God or not, and they stumbled because the circumstances there on the stony ground. Stony ground, I mean, you can't just get saved and then a week later have a big, big basket full of fruit. I mean, you got to get some endurance. You got to make your mind up. Just like I talked about, I mean, one of the first things I had to fight for was church, Johnny. I'm telling you to go to church. I knew what church was doing for me. I knew it was the will of God. See, and the Lord spoke to me today and he said, you tell them, whatever they believe to be my will, convinced by the Holy Spirit, convinced that it's the will of God, tell them to get the word and to fight. Millions of people are not going to experience God in this last hour that we live in. Because the Bible says perilous time, trouble, hard to deal with. And if you ain't building yourself up and you ain't getting strong and you ain't fighting for your right to go to church, you are. I'm not talking to y'all. But you can't ever lose that. Circumstances change, seasons change, people change, things change. I used to be so steadfast on that. Then I started hearing that doctrine, you know, you don't have to go to church to be a good Christian. Every one of them today that said that started not going to church and all of that, they are backslid, and that I know of. They're backslid, they're not in church, they don't pray, they're not giving nothing to the kingdom, they're always sad, they're always one thing after another. That's all they can sing is that. Because why? Because they didn't let the word stay in there and bring fruit. The Bible says that I will bear fruit even in my old age. Those that are planted in the house of God. And you know what? I believe we got to preach it, and we got to preach it and believe it more now than we ever have, because faith comes by hearing. Those that are sitting out there, they can get mad if they want to. The Bible don't change, and we're not going to change to fit your lifestyle. We're not. A lot of us come up and we're willing to quit our jobs to go to church. And we know we've seen God move and bring miracles in that. And bless God, we didn't have to quit nothing. I mean, He moved mountains for me. He made things happen for us to go to the house of the Lord so that we could be under the anointing and praise and worship God, not just to hear a good song. One of the things Travis wants, he wants a greater anointing on the praise team. And ever since that he started desire and tried to move forward, attack after attack after attack. But you know what? He's still here. He's going to have it. I told him, I said, the Bible says you're delighting yourself in the Lord. He desires to have a greater anointing on the praise team. That's His will. That's not your desire. That's His desire. And when things come, you're going to have to fight. Fight your emotions. He comes to church sick. Beth called me the other day, reckon ought to come to church. I mean, I've always believed, come sick, man, with your tongue hanging out. But God, we're going to slap some anointing oil on you. We go to the hospitals. What you talk about? We go lay hands on the sick. How can we lay hands on you? Most of the time, they won't need it. They get healed as they go. Because their mind's made up. The will of God's for me to go to church. That's why I was labeled in the pandemic, I'm trying to kill people. And I started telling them, yeah, sure am. I'm trying to kill that flesh nature and get that spirit man going so we can get rid of all this stuff. I said every time I would invite somebody to, why? Because I wasn't making no plans to fail. I was not going to back up concerning church, hallelujah. I tried to comply as much as I could, but when this world puts pressure on you and circumstances to get the Word of God, which is God, out of your heart, then you fight for it. Whatever it costs you, you just do it. And God is a faithful God, and God will back you up. I was thinking about it the other day, and about how ever since me and Teresa met, we've been attacked on, Satan attacked us. Not to stay together. It's a miracle that we're together today. I'm telling you, a 100% bona fide move of God every time. I mean, and I told her the other day, I said, they can't nothing stop us. I said, God, if God be for us, who can be against us? Nothing's been able to separate us because they can't separate us from God. I'm not talking about people, Satan. But going to church, and God's going to woo people. He's going to woo people. People ain't going to get what they're supposed to be getting sitting home on a Wednesday night or a Sunday when they're able to go to church. The church, every church that's assembled, most of them are churches that's on the TV. Right? Pastor Jensen, Pastor Creflo Dollar, Pastor, all of them, they're pastors. What if all their people said, well, we're going to stay home? They won't be on there because they're not putting themselves on there. God's people giving and backing the gospel. And that is for, it goes into the prisons where they can't go to church. It goes into the hospitals where they can't go. It goes into the nursery, but it's not to replace the church. The church is the one that takes the gospel there. Hallelujah. Told my brother he was big on pastoring. He probably gonna listen. That's good. That's good. If you can't take the truth without getting offended, you need to go a little deeper in God. The Bible says, whom God loves, he does what? Tells me the truth. Chastises me. Lets me know when I'm thinking wrong. He lets me know when I'm not thinking right. He loves me. You know. But he quit going to church and blah, blah, blah. Pastored for years. You know, and I told him, I said, what happened? I said, has the Bible changed? I said, what have you done? You got so mature now, you don't need the body? You don't need to go to church? I said, why don't you come to church? He said, I got a message for the world. He said, I'm not going to be a bench warmer. I said, nobody asked you to be a bench warmer. I said, you're looking at a man that can put you all over this world in one sermon in 3 minutes. If you got a message for the world, I said, you got to get back, man. Church, those that are planted, forsake not the assembly. Used to preach it and drive it home to your people because it was living in you and it was real. And now you've let something get it out of you because now the church is not important to you anymore. See, when the Word of God begins to get out of our hearts, well, then the things of God won't be as important to us anymore. I'm talking about faith comes by hearing, and faith is in there by receiving and by keeping it in there. So we got to make sure. I don't believe any of us in here stony ground. I really don't. Now, thorny ground, that's a tough one for us, you know, because we have trials every Monday at work. Well, Johnny's on vacation now. He ain't got no trials. His starts next Tuesday. Praise the Lord. You know, I mean, you've got the pressures of this, that thorny ground. They focused on the cares, your finances, you know, your lot bill, inflation. You know, I ain't been able to preach on inflation. That's a new one. I got it now. I got a good one. You know, got a good one. Why? Because that's what we're facing. Inflation and all of that, they focused on that, you know, and the Word didn't choked it out, and the Word didn't become fruitful. It didn't bear no fruit in their life. See, we got to make sure that we don't allow our hearts to be thorny ground. That means the cares that you're going through and you can't figure out your future and things may not be going in favor for you and, you know, I mean, anything, you know, you can't let the Word, you know, you can't let the Word slip. You got to stand fast in the liberty where Christ Jesus has made you free. I remember 27 years old thinking, I wonder if God will ever bless us. I wonder if God, then 28 came around a year. I'm still wondering. I'm getting a Word and I'm confessing it and I'm believing it and I'm standing against it and I hate poverty. You know, and I'm giving what I can and helping people, but I'm wondering, is this really going to work? So I understand the carnal side of, you know, trying to get you. Satan will give you thoughts. This don't work. You're never going to be blessed. You know your background. You know where you see. I was raised in a family of 17. You know, I mean, yellow blocks were like Christmas when Dad would bring a bag home. You know, banana blocks, they call them. I don't know if you even get them anymore. Praise the Lord. I mean, that was like a special day. That was like Christmas, man. You know, and I remember getting my brother's wore out BB guns for Christmas and they got new ones. But God. See, I'm gonna get on down to good ground. I'm good ground. You're good ground. This church is good ground. Your hearts are, this building's not the church. This building is just where we come together, praise God, because He's called us out. He's called us together. We are the church. And He brought us together because one puts 1,000. You can't put over 1,000 in your living room. 1,000 demons is all you can put to flight. If you got faith. If you manage to keep faith and not go to church, not likely. There's a fake faith. There's a fake faith. It's not real. It's not God's faith. You know? And I mean, I'm backslid on the Lord, so firsthand I walked away from the Lord. You know, firsthand, I can tell you, I'm laying there in the bed and Satan is telling me you're going to hell. And I thought, oh, man. I mean, I had no faith. I had no faith to fight. Why? Because I wasn't going to church. I wasn't engaging in praying and fasting and believing God. I didn't lose my faith immediately. But the longer I was out of church, the more that I felt like hopeless on the inside against principalities and powers. Because I was. He says he gives the fivefold ministry for the edifying, the building up. Well, a guy told me one time, he said, well, I got a pastor. I said, who is he? He named somebody on TV. I said, well, you need to go to his church. Well, I can't drive 600 miles. I said, he ain't your pastor. I said, that's real convenient. I almost didn't listen to WDJC back under 1995 anymore because they let somebody come on there promoting staying at home and doing communion and tithing to yourself and you got your Bible and, you know, and I turned it off and I thought I'll never listen to them again. That's false doctrine. That's contrary to the Word of God. See, all I knew is the Bible says, forsake not the assembling. That's all I needed to know. To know error when it comes. But you know what? I could listen to it. Well, yeah, you know, God works in mysterious. I could begin to entertain thoughts that's contrary to the Word. That's what you can't do. Everybody else can if they want to, but not me, not us. And I'm not going to preach it that way. We live by the Word of God, and we walk by faith because we live by the Word of God. We must walk by faith. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 11, 32, it says, those that do know their God, she's going to put it up there, and such as do wicked against the covenant shall be corrupt by the flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, extraordinary things. Hallelujah. We just seen one in Jenny. I mean, Samantha and him lost all their income at one instance. Got it? I mean, they went from two paydays a week to nothing. And then, I mean, I didn't see Johnny. I told him, I mean, God, I don't understand, God. I can't go to the food giveaway. I mean, this is depressing. I can't go tote boxes, God. I mean, I just can't keep my mind off of this, God. I didn't hear him come in here and say, oh, God, y'all pray for me. Oh, my God. Oh, the world may let us down, but he won't. Well, you know what? Praise God. He's looking at having to drive an hour. That would be awful. Hour and 10, 15 minutes to find a good job, Birmingham or somewhere, you know. But he kept on standing and trusting God. Hallelujah. If it had been in the wrong spirit, God, I wouldn't have come in and God said, let Johnny start it off today. Because if Johnny's going to get up here, y'all pray for me. Oh, God giveth and God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He wouldn't allow you to get up here and say that. But he didn't. Right in the middle of his battle, gets right up here. And I came in and the Lord put it in my heart, let Samantha. And she done been thinking, he ain't let me do it in a while. Well, you're going through everything like we do. And the Lord, I come in and the Lord knows. And he said, let Samantha do it. You know, well, God lined him up a job a minute and a half from where he was, gave him about $3, $3.50 raise. Hallelujah. Those that do know their God. See, some people know of God. They know about God. But they don't know him. They don't know him in that manner that I am your Jehovah Jireh. I am your healer. I am your provider. I am your very present help in trouble, in times of need. Come boldly to the throne of grace that you'll find help and grace in time of need. Hallelujah. So make sure that you're not thorny ground in this hour that we live in. Things are not going to get better in the world. And I'm not a doomsday preacher. I'm not a doomsday prophet. Things are not going to get, because the Bible says it. Darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But he says, arise and shine for the glory of the Lord. And what God is going to do in this last hour is get us strong, the ones that will engage, the ones that will pray, the ones that will lean into Him and trust in Him. They're going to be strong for the hour that comes. And then He's going to pour out His glory. The wealth of the wicked is going to be transferred to the righteous. The glory of the Lord is going to be revealed upon us. But you know what? They didn't get to see the promises in the wilderness. They limited God. And we can limit God. We're not going to. We just have knowledge that we can. And we make up our mind, but God, we're not going to limit Him. I remember down there thinking, I wonder if we'll ever be blessed. And I can tell you today, 30 years later, I owe no man nothing. I'm not a broke man. I'm not a weak man. I'm not a sick man. I'm not a discouraged man. And I'm not a defeated man. 30 years later, so I can tell you from experience, but I believed it before the experience that it would happen one day, that God would do it. He would take us from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Good ground people. Put that up there, Beth. Let's read that. It's Mark 4, I believe. We want to read. I didn't cover all of them. go on down. I want the last one. This is ours. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And you know what? The fruit that can come out of the word is determined by me. I'm 100-fold. I want 100-fold return of the word. He said some 30, some. I'm in the some last one. Right? I'm good with 30. I done been to 30. I done been to 60. Now I'm after the 100-fold. Well, the Bible says, forgetting those things that are behind you and press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So, every year I have to forget those things that are behind. Those failures, those shortcomings, those times that I give in to weakness. And I've not always stood strong, you know, when I should stand strong. So I understand the struggle. But God began to teach me about seasons in my life. He said there's different seasons that comes in your life. There's seasons of waiting. There's seasons of bearing fruit. There's seasons, just like seasons in the natural. He said, but what you got to learn to do is pay attention to the seasons that's in your life, and there's fruit in every season. And I don't know how to tell you how to do it. Just God will. You'll realize this is just a test. That's a season. It'll pass. See, good ground people don't sit around and meditate on all that they don't have. Actually, I'm sitting on my back porch and I'm asking the Lord to take me on to heaven. I don't know when it was. We done got our house and I felt like, this is everything, man. You've given me everything I've asked for now, you know, and I'm tired of fighting. I'm just tired, you know. And the Lord told me, He said, dream. I don't really want to dream, Lord. I don't want to dream. I'm done dreaming. I'm tired of dreaming. You know, that's when you're letting the cares of this world pull the word out. It's getting the word out. It's stealing your vision. It's stealing your faith. Thank God I didn't believe Him really and go on. I mean, that's been several years, 10 years after that. I was attacked physically and all kinds of stuff, you know, and I just felt like I'm tired of fighting. See, you can't let the world and their circumstances wear you down like that. And the only reason I got wore down is because I quit looking to God through the Word. See, good ground people, they fast. There he goes with that fasting. I didn't say that. God did. He said, when you fast. He didn't say, y'all quit fasting after I come, send you the Holy Spirit. You know, you don't have to fast no more anymore. You just, you know, y'all. No, he told them, he said, and when you fast, don't fast like them hypocrites to be seen and heard and all that, you know. Wash your face, anoint your head, wash your face. Don't show a sad countenance. It's a heart thing. See, good ground, and it does spiritual things for you. I mean, it does spiritual things, and it moves in the natural. And actually, we've got angels that are encamped around about us according to the Bible. And the Bible says that the angels of God, I mean, I used to, still do, I dispatch them to go and cause me to have favor in the garage door business. My angels work for me. The Bible says that the angels of God excel in strength and hearkening to the voice of the word of the Lord. That's us speaking God's word. And they excel in strength. I mean, they rise up, you know, and they come and they even minister to us without us even knowing it. They strengthen us. But fasting causes you to be aware of the angelic. There's angels came in with you. You can't see them with your eyes. If God, and it proved it in the Bible, you know, he said, we're defeated over there, even in the Old Testament. And the prophet said, open his eyes, Lord, that he can see. He said, there's more for us than they are against. He opened his eyes, he said, wow, whoo. He's seen all them angelic beings. They're still here. And they fight for us, hallelujah. They come against principalities and powers, hallelujah, through our faith. Our faith is a shield. It brings a shield, according to Ephesians. Good ground people pray and talk to the Lord every day. If you're going to be good ground, you got to talk to the Lord every day. Well, I don't know what to say. Don't say much. Just tell him, good morning, Lord. Thank you for this day, God. Thank you that my past is in my past, God. And I thank you, Lord, according to your word, my future's bright, according to Jeremiah 29:11. See, the more you know the word, you can begin to talk to God about your future and tell him, thank you, Lord, you redeemed me from being sad. You redeemed me from being oppressed, God. You redeemed me from that. You redeemed me from the lies of the enemy. Satan can't come and tell me anymore that Teresa's running around on me. And get me all in a frenzy and all in a prison. And if she was to, God will reveal it to me. Right? Hallelujah. But he can't convince me anymore to get in fear and unbelief. And it might not be that for you. That was a major thing for me, and Satan knew it. Satan knew it, and when I got saved, he still tried to use it and tried to use it and tried to use it. And God give me step by step every now and then, tell me something to do until I was totally free. It's not jealousy, it's fear. And it causes a man to compete. And we're not in competition. The Lord is our helper. The Lord is our strength. The Lord is our provider. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that he's able to keep that you commit to him. And then when good ground people learn how to give things to God and cast things over on the Lord, and that's how you're leaning on him. You're trusting in him. When you do that, that is your faith releasing that to him. You're trusting in him. They pray and talk to God daily. Hallelujah. They don't just sit around, well, I don't feel like talking to God today. I don't feel like talking to people sometimes, but I talk to them anyways, right? I used to have a problem, wonder if God's hearing me or not. I mean, I'm praying one morning, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, I've set my clock because I heard a preacher say, you know, if you work, you know, and you ain't got time, you know, I'm working from 7 to 5 most of the time. He said, well, just set your clock for 15 minutes early. He said to talk to the Lord. Let him have the first part of your day. Let him be the start of your day. You know, and I thought, oh, God, 15 minutes, man. I liked every minute sleeping, man. You know, but I did it, and I made it a habit, and I'd go in there at my chair where I sat, and I'd get on my knees, and I'd talk to God. I set my clock, started talking to God. And I told God, I'd tell him every morning, I don't know how long it took place. But I'd tell him every morning, I'd talk to him, and then I would tell him, I'd say, Lord, I'll see you after a while. I'll be back after a while, because I didn't have a concept that he was in me and that he's with me everywhere I go. I didn't know that. I didn't know none of the Bible. But I've started learning it when you read. Somebody say, read the Bible. And so this one morning, you know, so I had the concept unconsciously that I'm just out there all alone without God till I get back home. I know that sounds stupid, but that's just the way it was. I can't explain that, but I mean, I think it's very stupid now. Looking back at it, I'm like, man, what's wrong with you, man? You know, God's everywhere. Well, I didn't know it. But anyways, I got up that morning. He said, take me with you. And I mean, just all of a sudden, I thought, take him to work with me. Praise God. I said, okay, Lord. Okay. And then I went out, and I'm like, God's with me now. Bless God. Hallelujah. He's with me. It changed my whole outlook on going out to work and everything. Time I got done that first year and the business sold out and all of that, I mean, you couldn't get me to lay out. I cut my leg open, had stitches, and I felt so guilty because I couldn't go to work. I called my boss, and I said, hey, man, I said, I feel so bad. I said, I need to come to work. He said, well, they told you to be off 6 weeks. I cut it with a chainsaw on my leg, you know. And I said, well, look. I said, look. I said, I can keep it straight. I said, I drove a truck, you know, and towed a sheetrock and everything. I said, I can't tow no sheetrock and all that. I said, but I can come drive that truck. I said, once I get it in first gear, I don't ever have to mash the clutch again until I get to the job. I said, and I can keep it. He let me come back to work. And I felt like I'd conquered this old man. I was like, glory to God. And then I'm thinking, what, are you stupid? Man, you used to cut your leg to get out of work, man. Well, what was happening is that word was getting in there, praise God, and it was transforming me and bringing me up. It brought me, I mean, when I got done there, you couldn't get me to quit. I told the Lord, I knew I was going to be in business for myself. That was my heart desire, and I was believing God for it. And I told God, I said, but I'm not quitting my job. I'm not going to quit. You're going to have to do it where I know that it's you. And you know what? He sold that place out, and I didn't know about it till the day that he come out there, and he said, I've sold it, and we done settled everything. In Cahaba Valley, they want to keep you. They want to keep you. He said, but that's up to you. He said, you can stay here, or you can go with me, or whatever you want to do. He said, you always got a place. I said, I think I'm going business for myself. Well, about 2 or 3 minutes after, he said, okay, sugar. It's been, we talked a little bit. And then here comes my brother, pulls down there. What's going on, man? I said, well, they sold out. And he said, well, let's go in business together in the garage door business. That was 1994. And I thought, this is God. This has got to be God. So I said, okay, well, 30 years later, I'm still doing garage doors. And you know what? All of the trials and different things, the Word of God kept me in the will of God when I would stay steadfast on the Word of God. He brought deliverance after deliverance after deliverance. He'll do it for you. I'm not just telling you a story. I'm telling you the Word of God gets in there. That's God in there. Christ in you, the hope of glory. They read and meditate on the Word. See, you can't meditate on your problems. I mean, you got them. You can have a thought, you know, but you got to get rid of that. You got right then, you got to turn from that problem to the Word of God. The problem of the thorny ground people, some of them, you know, they see their situation bigger than God. Or they see their situation, they're in it by themselves, and they've not got God. They're not consciously thinking that and saying that, but that's their thoughts because that thing is making itself bigger than God. Whatever tries to make itself bigger than God, you got to slap that down, cast that down. I got scripture for it, 2 Corinthians 10. 3-5, it says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God for the pulling down of these strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that and thoughts that come exalt itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought. Somebody say every thought. See, some of your thoughts are not you. They're the enemy. Come and tell you you're defeated. He told me my business would go under 25 years ago. He's a liar. He don't know what he's saying. He's hoping I'll let it go down. He's hoping I won't stand on the promises of God. He's hoping I'll believe the stupid idiot. He's a liar. But like Johnny said, you know, he's been doing his job a long time. He's very good at bringing thoughts and giving suggestions and giving vision, you know, about dying. They tried to get me to watch the video to open heart surgery, you know. They're going to show you how they cut you open and lay you out and pull you up. I said, I'm not going to watch that. I said, it's going to happen anyhow. I don't need a vision. I thought I don't need that kind of vision. Praise God. Well, you know, it caused me to go in faith, come out in faith, woke up in faith, come out in faith, and recovered in faith. Hallelujah. And not scared of it. I wasn't scared of it. Number one, I'm not afraid of dying. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Paul said he loved not his life to the death. Praise God. See, that word got in there. Now I'm not afraid to face anything, praise God, because no weapons formed against you will prosper. They meditate on the word. God taught me that in Joshua 1:8. He told them, he said, meditate on my word. He told Joshua, meditate on my word day and night, then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. And he told him, he said, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? He said, on down there, and he said, I'm with you everywhere you go. And God used that and spoke to me, and he said, if you'll do that, he said, I'm already in you. I'm already with you. I'm already for you. Romans 8 tells us, if God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31 says, nay, in all things we are more than. He didn't say just conquerors. He said, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. More than. That's more than an ability to overcome what you face. I mean, that's more than enough strength, more than enough joy, more than enough faith, more than enough endurance. Hallelujah. They endeavor to stay in a right spirit. There's a big one. You can get offended in a gnat. You can get offended. I mean, people do it all the time. You know, you look at it all the way up in the name slang and all the way up in the president's dental stuff. This stuff shouldn't be taking place. It's causing division. It's causing hatred. It's causing fear. That's what Satan does, you know. And so we endeavor to stay in the right spirit. I pray for them because I don't want to be mad at them. I'm not going to be mad at them. I really want to get mad at them. Why don't y'all set that stupid stuff up and tell us what you're going to do? Tell us your policies. Tell us. Just tell us what you're going to do, and then we'll decide whether we want you or not. We'll decide in November. Tell us you're going to lead us into the Canaan land. Or tell us you're going to take our cars, our guns. Or what? Tell us what you're going to do. And then we'll decide what we're going to do. You know, praise God. Policies. See, the word's our policy. It's our covenant. And that's what we're for. And it brings us to freedom and to victory, praise God. Endeavor to stay in the right spirit. They stand on the word concerning their health. You know, I don't care what your body says or what mistakes you've made or what you've eaten or all of that. Don't let down on the word. Just don't let down on it. And it'll build a hunger to change the things that you don't like. The word. I used Romans there for years and years and addiction, serving God. Hallelujah. And I would say it every night. You know, because the Bible said, therefore we believe, therefore we can, as we have believed, received, therefore believe, therefore we speak. And so every night I would say it. I'd say, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that sin has no dominion over me. Lord, it's lost its dominion over me, God. And it's just a matter of time, God, till I will see the results of that I've been delivered from this. Every night, I said it year, week after week, month after month, year after year. I even thought I'll never be free. And then I thought, no, I got to believe based on the Word of God. And God, I thank you, Lord. I said every night. Well, you know what? It went several years went by, and that happened. It happened. I got free. See, don't make no plans to fail. Don't let the enemy tell you can't change. You can't make it. You can't have. You know, you don't even really have to pray about your needs. Travis heard a sermon on it. I've heard it. Why? Because the Bible says, Paul says, but my God will supply all my needs. Now we ask him for it, and then we begin to thank him. Thank you, Lord, I have more than enough money. I know my government check ain't but $800, God, but I'm not bound to that government check. You have blessed me abundantly above, greater than I could think or ask. God, you're able to go beyond the natural means to bless me, and I'm going to believe that. See, these are good ground people. Caleb and Joshua were good ground people. But God, they went around, they had to go through 2 or 3 million ungodly people and walk with them every day and hear their stuff and hear their complaining and hear their troubles and see their suffering and see the things that because they were limiting God that was happening to them. But you know what? They stayed in a right spirit, but God, and they got to go in and enjoy that. They endeavored to stay in a right spirit. Stand for your health. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. But I felt like death one time when I was breathing at night. I just felt like this is what death feels like. Just hurting and just all of that, you know. And I thought, this must be what death really feels like. This makes your mind wander and tries to take you into oppression and all of that stuff, you know. And then I thought, but God, I don't walk by feelings. Well, the Bible says we don't walk by sight, the way we feel, the way it looks. Hallelujah. I don't have that anymore. Praise God. I don't have it anymore. It was real. Every night for years. I don't have it anymore. Praise God. Why? I fought the good fight. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight and lay hold of the eternal life, eternal things. Hallelujah. Stand for your health. They put God's word first place and final authority. That's something you don't see a lot of these days. You know, you'll see people, you'll see God's people, and I'm not judging them and downing them, everybody doing what they're doing, but the Bible says I know people by their fruit. I don't mean me go judge them and down them and all of that. Nah, just keep your mind off all that and just serve the Lord. If I take care of Scotty, I got a full-time job, you know, and if I do that, I'm doing real good. Hallelujah, I got a full-time job. But you'll hear them. I mean, you just hear the confession. They're like, yeah, glory to God. God's good. God's good. Then something happens. Well, I don't know why God didn't show it. God ain't too good. See, they're not really putting God's word first place and final authority. What that means is, to me, is God's word says that by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. I have to put that first place. If I need to put it on my refrigerator, I used to put stickers on my rear view mirror where I couldn't look back. Lord told me, he said, don't look back. I said, I'm not going to look back. So I put Deuteronomy 28 up there on my rear view mirror. I stuck it up there, little sticky notes. I had them where my speedometer was. I had them on my dash, hallelujah. And everywhere I drove, I set them. Teresa's got them on the refrigerator. We got them on the refrigerator. We used to put them on the refrigerator a year in advance about Christmas. We start believing a year in advance about having plenty to buy people for Christmas and all of that good stuff. Because every year, there's one year we didn't have no money, and so Teresa got some cards, and she was just writing the ones that she wanted to give the gifts to, cards. That was going to be her gift. No money. Didn't have no money, you know. And I can't just jump up and down and say, I just loved them days. But no, I stood up and believed God, blessed God. I told Teresa one time, I went to the grocery store with her, God ain't changed. His word ain't changed. This culture's changed. People's changed. Some of the churches have changed. Hallelujah. But God's word ain't changed. And you know what? God ain't changed. But you won't see a manifestation in them that change with the culture and change with the world and let the word not be first place and final authority. That means, black God, I'm healed. I'm be laying down yonder in the hospital, cut up wide open, just out of surgery. Got tubes in my neck and sides and all of that, praise God. And I'm still thinking I'm the healed of God. Black God, I'm healed. Well, Travis, he goes in there and I said, you can come on in. He said, I ain't going in there. He looked and seen me. I didn't know all that was going to take place. I didn't watch the videos. I woke up and I got them everywhere. I got tubes out my neck and tubes out my side. I think tube down my throat and all that stuff. Praise God, hallelujah. You know, but all of that, you know, and even after that, you know, I had this thought, you're not going to be the same. And I said, I told Satan, I said, I sure ain't. I'm a bionic man now. I'm bionic now, hallelujah. I done come through the fire and through the flood. He's brought me out into abundant place. And then people, well, you got heart disease. And I'm like, no, I ain't never had heart disease. I had stopped up water pipes. Man, they cleaned them out, took them out of my leg, put me new veins in there. But God, I've made it 52 years with them old ones. I at least got 52 more years with these. Hallelujah. You know, I ain't got no heart disease. Praise God, your water pipe stops up. You know, it ain't got a disease, Johnny. The world can call it what they want. I wouldn't take the label. See, don't take labels, thoughts of how you are. You know how you are, so it's going to be a battle for you to believe how God says you are. But when you master that, praise God, then you start becoming what God says you are instead of being who you don't want to be. I don't want to be that old man. I don't want to be that angry man anymore. I'm not. I'm going to put on the new man, and I'm going to walk in that new man. This is a good life. I'm living the good life. You are too, hallelujah. But put God's word third place and final authority. When trials hit, or just life, they hook themselves up with preaching. The word of God. Pray. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord who He wants you to connect it to. Ask the Lord what sermon. Pray over it. Find out what. Teresa, I mean, she's always been good about that. She'd say, why do you want to hear? I say, I don't really know, man. You figure it out. You find out. Because she would always look on the inside. And she'd say, what's God saying? You know, nah, I don't think so. Nah. Then she'd hit it and I'd be like, oh, yeah. Led, those that are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. But you know what? We'd go with life and try to come at us, pray God, and she's going in there and she's turning on preaching. She, you know, I was telling Travis today, I said, when I first got started in this thing, I said, all we had, especially in the wintertime, was TBN. I said, and it was 24/7 praise and worship and preaching. And you had Jensen Franklin, that's where he got started. God set that platform up, hooked him up, just an old country boy up yonder out of Georgia, I believe he is. Then I'm hearing him and I'm thinking, man, he must have been preaching a long time, you know. And that was the first time he had ever been on her. I didn't know it. You know, but God took an old country boy and put him worldwide, just like you and us. We're worldwide. Hallelujah. But you know what? Hook yourself up with preaching. Moore Life Ministries is a wonderful one. I was talking to one of my sisters the other day, and she felt all down and out, blah, blah, blah. She goes to church, and I don't know about all that, praise God. And I told her, I said, well, look. I said, you know what you need to do? Why? She said, well, I got this one preacher I get a little out of. I said, no, you need to get a bunch out of what you're hearing. So I hooked her up. I told her, I said, when you go to bed tonight, I said, to get your phone and pull up Moore Life Ministries and you know, go in there and find something that seems interesting to you. I'm believing God a little later. I said, and then she texted me that night. She said, I forgot. And I texted to her, Moore Life Ministries. You know, what am I doing? I told her, I said, hook yourself up after church. I said, I listen to three or four sermons after church sometimes. People that I like, I hook myself up. Sometimes I'm going down the road, Kenneth Hagin. I pull up Kenneth Hagin. He'd gone to be with the Lord, but he was a faith man. I mean, he got healed on his deathbed. They done give him up. Praise God. Mark 11, 22 and 23, they call that Kenneth Hagin's scriptures, but it ain't. He got a revelation there. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it. And he started confessing that he was healed and thanking the Lord that he was healed. Praise God, he paid attention to the word. Jesus said, pay attention to what you hear, for the measure that you use will be measured. Pay attention to it, praise God. So I want to encourage you. You are good ground. So you go the rest of this week and say, Lord, I thank you that I'm good ground. And your word's on good ground. And I'm bringing forth a harvest, Lord. If you want 30, just say 30, 60, 100, whatever you want to say. It don't matter. 30's a lot. 30's victory. 60's victory. 100's victory. Hallelujah. Don't go thinking you're a nobody and a nothing. And God is for you and God is with you. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord, we thank you. Lord.